Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on Zion at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November the 6th, 2016, or this Chisri 7, 2020. We will start our first service on this first day of the week with a song entitled Face to Face with Yahshua, My Savior. Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face, when will it be? When with the rapture of beholding Yahshua, who died for me. Face to face, I shall behold him. Far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkening veil between. A blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What a rejoicing in his presence, when all banish grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Yahweh's covenant with Abraham, number 22. We're going to continue on our series here. We're dealing with the word covenant. And then we're going to turn to Ezekiel, chapter 34. And we're going to read the whole chapter. It says, the first verse, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, and my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, saith Yahweh, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherd, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith Yahweh, Elohim, behold, I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith Yahweh Elohim. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Yahweh, have spoken. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and deliver them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Verse 28, and they shall no more be a prey unto the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. and I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, and neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. This shall they know that I, the Yahweh, the Elohim, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith Yahweh Elohim. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Elohim, saith Yahweh Elohim. Okay, that ends Ezekiel 34, and our main thing that we learned here was that Yahweh made a covenant of peace with them, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. That's verse 25. Well, let's go back to verse 22 and do a little review here now. It says, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall be no more, shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Okay, so now, this David is a generic name. David, the definition for David means blessed of the Yahweh. Just like Yahweh's name, Yahweh, Eliyahu, he gave that to Elijah. Elijah is just a transliteration in English as a five-letter name that is transliterated from Yahweh's two names, Eliyahu, which is a seven-letter name. You put the two together and you have the two being the name of the Father, Eliyahu. And so when you pronounce Elijah's name in the Hebrew, it's Eliyahu. In other words, he just has a father's name. That's all Elijah is a father's name. And that's what Elijah came from Gilead with, his father's name. Nobody knows truly who Elijah was. They don't know what family he came from. He didn't have a pedigree. He didn't have a pedigree. He just came from he came from Gilead. He just appeared with the name Eliyahu. He just had the father's name. So, not being able to put a family name on him and to know where he came from, he was just described as no pedigree. That he was just simply. In other words, Yahweh intended for it to be that way. Now, when it talked about Elijah in the Bible, I don't believe it mentions him as a son of so-and-so. If it had him, then you'd know what family he came from. But now Isaiah, you know, and Jeremiah talked about they were the son of so-and-so and so-and-so, all the different prophets. But when it comes to Elijah, Ezekiel 37 now is our next, will be our next reading. It says, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bone and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh Elohim, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when he had, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, here's a vision that Ezekiel is having here. And he's seeing the future resurrection of the whole house of Israel that had died even before Ezekiel's time. Way back there, thousands of years ago, up to 3,500 years ago, the house of Israel was dead. Ezekiel was on the scene about 500 B.C., something like that. So the house of Israel had been in existence for 1,000 years at the time that Ezekiel made these prophecies. And he was shown, though, in the end time where the whole house of Israel, the righteous, are going to be resurrected. But Ezekiel saw them in vision being resurrected. He saw this great army. Because he prophesied it, and as he prophesied, it materialized right before his eyes, just like going to a movie. He saw this resurrection in vision. And he saw those bones come into their bone, and all of a sudden flesh came upon them, and then the sinews and so forth. And then he prophesied to the wind, and the wind came, and it breathed into them the breath of life. And they stood upon their feet, a very great army. So Yahweh has a very great army that's in the grave today. They're in the grave, but they're going to be resurrected one day, and they're going to come forth, and they're going to be fighters here in the end time against Satan and his legions of evil men, soldiers. Folks, it says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. My mind can't fathom the things that are unfolding to me bit by bit. I'm getting new light unfolding every day on these Bible subjects that I had never seen before. All right, let's go ahead. It says there in Ezekiel 37, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh, verse 8, came up on them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now I'm seeing things here that this resurrection is a resurrection of people that represents a great army. And he said the key word is slain. Breathe upon these slain. That they were slain. That they may live. He said, breathe upon them, that they may live. So Yahweh has to have a prophet on the scene and unfolding his word and giving the true interpretation of it. Otherwise, humanity has no way of knowing what the prophecies mean or the unfolding and what they mean at all. Unless Yahweh has a special chosen servant that he can speak through himself and illuminate his mind to give the true interpretation. Not only that, but give him a vision if he has to. Give him a visual picture of it. And that's what he's doing with Ezekiel here. So I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. W-H-O-L-E, the whole house. Now, anytime you see that word whole, it means all. All completely. Now, over there in James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all. So whosoever keeps the whole law, if you're keeping the whole law, and you offend in one point, and then you're guilty of all. It don't make any difference. The law is perfect and complete. And if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So I'll read it to you. For whosoever shall keep the whole law And yet, if at one point he is guilty of all. So the whole law means all the law given from Genesis by the hand of Moses, the first five books Moses wrote, and he recorded the Ten Commandments also in the and his book of the law, and that was considered to be the whole law of Yahweh. And so, none need error. The whole law was written in the first five books of the law of Moses. The book of Moses. The law of Moses as well. It's called the law of Yahweh. Nehemiah identifies the book of the law of Moses as the law of the book of the law of Yahweh. So, the New Testament does not rewrite the law or the covenants. It's merely the amplification and unfolding of the old and the fulfillment of the old. Nothing is new under the sun. It says so there in Ecclesiastes. There is nothing new under the sun. Once it was established by law in the first five books of the Bible by Moses, then there's nothing after that new under the sun. It's nothing but a repeat, type and antitype, repeat, type and antitype on everything, clear to the end of time. All right. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 37. And it says at verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Yahweh. The word of the Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, that's the ten tribes, in the north, that were separated from the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. In 721 B.C., the ten tribes had gone into captivity among the Assyrians. The two tribes went into captivity in 605 B.C., 121 years later. And so now, here Ezekiel, with a latter-day prophecy, is showing that these two great kingdoms of Israel that were separated, and the two are going to be joined back together into one great kingdom here in the end time. And there's a reason for that. It's because Yahweh is going to use this kingdom, as Jeremiah 51, 18, 19, and 20 says, he's going to use it as his battle axe and his weapons of war to thresh the nations with it. Okay, so that's who we represent, the infancy of this kingdom. We represent the mustard seed, Matthew 13:31. Okay, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Okay, I represent this Yahweh's servant David. And he has anointed me and put his spirit in me for this purpose, to raise up the tabernacle of David that has been fallen down for many centuries. That's Amos chapter 9, verse 26, Ezekiel 37. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. A covenant of peace. It shall be an everlasting covenant. This is that everlasting covenant mentioned. And I believe the everlasting covenant is mentioned 16 times, actually, in the scriptures. And we might go take a look at that here in a little bit. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Now he's going to resurrect this valley of dry bones, going to call the whole house of Israel. And he's going to make an everlasting covenant with them, and plus the living that has joined them, the house of David, and the 144,000. This is who all he's going to make the covenant, everlasting covenant with. When he brings forth the 144,000, and they come out of the Adventist church, the 144,000, and they're going to join this whole house of Israel, that's resurrected here in Ezekiel 37. And then he says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with them. This them is a pronoun for identifying everyone that is involved here in this. And the 144,000 is definitely the capstone on this. And multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Prophesy against Gog. Now this is going into Ezekiel 38. Let's see where this word covenant, though, let's see where it takes us into our next chapter. That would be Ezekiel 44. And let's go ahead and follow that line of thinking, Ezekiel 44. And verse 7 is your memory verse there for Ezekiel 44. And we always, every now and then, run ahead and read that. Then we go back and start at verse 1 in that chapter. Verse 7, Ezekiel 44. And that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. Alright, now did you get that? When the prophet allows strangers, uncircumcised in the heart, to be in his sanctuary, which Brother Johnson, he allowed a stranger to come into our sanctuary down at Kermit. He come from another state. He joined the congregation. And he was a devil worshiper. He was a Satan worshiper, but he believed in the feast days. And that was his key for Brother Johnson letting him into the Gilead Center. This man's name was Dennis Roberts. A very evil, evil, evil person. He could have very well been Satan incarnate himself. And Brother Johnson, this by virtue of the fact that he said, I believe in the Sabbath and the feast days, Brother Johnson let him join the church. And that man was there at the end of Gilead Center's sojourn, and he helped bring it down. Matter of fact, that man's prophecy and my prophecy is what brought Gilead Center down. And because Rosh Hashanah allowed him to be in the sanctuary to pollute it and to offer but he says they have broken, these strangers that join you, they have broken his covenant because of your abomination. Not their abomination, but because of your abominations, Rosh Hashanah, angel of the seventh candlestick of the Seventh Day Adventist Church, Laodicea. You were the last angel put in charge of that candlestick, and by your abominations, you allowed strangers to come into the sanctuary and pollute it. And that was the abomination that your wife was a champion for. Your wife was a champion for idolatry at Gilead Center, Laura Mae Johnson. She was a champion for it altogether, 100% all the way, from the very beginning. Birthday celebration and anniversary celebrations and celebrations of maybe Thanksgiving. Use those as excuses to have a day off to go socialize with your family members. That's what it is for. The height of abomination. Ezekiel 44:8. And ye have not kept the charge of mine holy thing, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, no stranger uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. It don't get much clearer than that, folks. And the Levites that are gone away from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, and have charge at the gates of the house, and ministering unto the house, they shall slay the burnt offering, and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. Okay, it says that because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith Yahweh Elohim, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Okay, so everybody that practices abominations in the house of Israel, they have to pay for their own. If the prophet is practicing abominations and allowing it in the holy temple, well, then he has to bear his own sin. It says so there in Ezekiel 18. It says that the father has to bear his own sin. There in Ezekiel 18. The son is not punished for his father's iniquity, in other words. So it says there in Ezekiel 18. It says, verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass, and he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet you say the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal, or not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die? Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Okay. Enough on that. Let's go back to Ezekiel 44. It says, verse 14, but I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, have kept the charge of my sanctuary. When the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith Yahweh. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near unto my table to minister unto me. And they shall keep my charge, and it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court. And within they shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. And when they go forth and into the outer court, even into the outer court to the unto the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Okay, discern. There's a very key word here. And in the controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according unto my judgment. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assembly, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. They shall hallow my Sabbath. And they shall come at no dead person defile themselves, but for father, or for mother, or for son, or for daughter, for brother, or for sister, that hath had no husband. They may defile themselves, and after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, unto the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith Yahweh Elohim. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall not eat the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all, the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. He shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. Okay, that ends chapter 44. That's pretty conclusive, what that actually is talking about. Let's go into our next one now, where it deals with covenant. And look, like we're going to have to go all the way to Daniel chapter 9 to deal with that. So let's go deal with that. Daniel is our next chapter from Ezekiel. Okay, it says that in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Okay, and I set my face unto the Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh, my Elohim, and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Yahweh, keeping the covenant and mercy unto them that love him. Okay, now, Yahweh says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So you can determine whether you love him or not. And it says in Proverbs, I love those that love me. Now, you have to love him first. People say, oh no, we're just poor sinners. We don't know how to love. Yahweh loves us first. No. We have to love him first. In other words, he put his spirit in us and he tries to draw us by his spirit. It's up to us to seek him out. If we want what the best thing for us in life, we seek him out, and then he says that he will show us the way back unto him, and he will draw you unto him. And he says, I love those that love me. There in Proverbs. All right, now it says, so in Daniel 9:4 it says, and I prayed unto Yahweh, my Elohim, and made my confession, and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Yahweh, keeping the covenant and mercy unto them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. Not only those that love him, but unto those that keep his commandments. That's the only one that he keeps the covenant with. Okay. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servant, the prophets which spake in thy name unto our kings, our princesses, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. Unto the men of Judah, that would be Gilead's center, and the last one that held down Judah in the sinful kingdom was Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. Brother Johnson from 1970, a fish technically went all the way to 2010 for the sinful kingdom of Judah. And unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, or through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, and that they have trespassed against thee. O Yahweh, unto us belongeth confusion of face, unto our kings, unto our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Unto Yahweh Elohim belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh or Elohim to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophet. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even thy departing. Now, do you see that? Daniel said, yea, all Israel have transgressed, past tense, thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Now, what does it say there in Genesis 26:5 about obeying Yahweh's voice? It's very interesting that he's dealing with Abraham on that. And I'm going to read that to you. It says that, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Well, he said the same thing about David. He said, because that David obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commands, my statutes and my law. Yahweh can say that about every one of his true prophets that he called. That everyone followed the example of Abraham by obeying Yahweh's voice and keeping all of his commandments, statutes, and laws. Okay? So now we go back to Daniel 9, and it says, verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, this oath right here, that Yahweh can not lie, that's what that oath means, and That's when he said to David, he said, I cannot lie. I'm going to give, I made my covenant with David. He said in Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor oath the things going out of my lips. Okay, so now he can't break his covenant, so he has to put a curse upon those also that break it. Once they make a covenant with him and then they break it, then he puts a curse upon them. And he has a right to do this. So he says, therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the path that it, and the oath that is written in the law of the Moses, the servant of Yahweh, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us. Now he says that they have, Israel had sinned against Yahweh. They had sinned against him. They didn't just sin against someone else or something else. They sinned directly against Yahweh by disobeying his commandments, the statutes and judgment. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Yahushua. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Yahweh or Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Yahweh our Elohim is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, Yahweh our Elohim, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yahweh, according unto all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and thy people are become a reproach unto all that are about us. Now therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Yahweh's sake. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do, defer not. For thine own sake, O my Yahweh, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Yahweh my Elohim for the holy mountain of my Elohim, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision, and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be put upon the desolate. This overspreading of the abomination, well, we know that the house of Israel reached clear up through Gilead's center at Kermit, Texas, up to 2003. Through the year 2002-3, we know that Israel practiced abominations ever since they came out of Egypt 3,500 years ago with Moses. And Yahshua is that rock in the cloud that that guided them for 40 years in the wilderness. They practiced abominations from the day one that they came out of Egypt, and Israel has practiced abominations even down to this very day of November the 6th, 2016. And when I say Israel today, I'm talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist and the Branch Davidians that has already come and gone. And the bookwork in heaven, they are through. They have been through since 2003, since Yahweh closed out the judgment for the dead with the Adventist Church through Verta W. Johnson at Kermit, Texas in 2003. And he closed out the judgment for the dead in the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet. He opened up the seventh trumpet, the seventh seal, of Revelation 8 for the seventh seal. And he started the judgment of the living. He closed out the judgment of the dead. And he closed out the 11th parabolic hour with Gilead Center in 2003. And he opened up and he began the 12th hour. We entered into the 12th parabolic hour in 2002, starting at the Passover. And the overspread of the abominations reached clear up to 2003. And yet, we've been 14 years removed from Gilead Center about, and yet we still have to, we're dealing with abominations overspread even into our house, right here. So the overspreading of the abominations, whenever that finally comes to its end, it's going to be mandated by prophecy, which will be when the 144,000 comes forth out of the Adventist Church. That's your first wheat harvest out of the Adventist Church of the remnant. They're called the remnant. The Adventist Church is called the church that produces the remnant, but the 144,000 is the remnant that comes out of her. And as soon as they appear with the Lamb on Mount Zion, there in Israel, and you have that prophecy in Revelation 14, and as soon as they appear there, that's when the overspread of abominations cease in the house of Israel. Okay? And that is prophesied there in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. Okay, so it says, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood upon the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. This is in Revelation 14, verse 3 now. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with the women, meaning the false doctrines of the house of Israel, for they are virgin. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. Redeemed from among the men and the Adventist Church, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh, right here on this earth. Okay. Well, we're getting close to the end of our study. Our next chapter that deals with the word covenant will be found in Daniel 11, verse 22. Let's go read it. It says that, verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Okay, so Daniel 11 is going to be our next chapter we're going to do when we get into our next study. And we're going to start with verse 1. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a little beginning right here now with the last few minutes we have. It says in Daniel 11, 1, it said, also I, in the first year of Darius, the Mede, even us did to confirm and to strengthen him. And so there's a conflict now between these two kings that's going to be talked about here in this chapter. And it starts in verse 2. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. Three kings in Persia. And the fourth shall be far richer than they all. Okay, there's three kings, but the fourth one, which is the pagan Rome, the nondescript beast that Daniel saw in vision, he saw the lion, the bear, and the leopard, and then he saw that fourth one, the nondescript beast, and this is what Daniel is talking about here. And by his strength, through the riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. So the Rome, pagan Rome, which developed into ecclesiastical Rome, which we know now as the Catholic Church, in charge of that, and a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according unto his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not unto his posterity, nor according unto his dominion, which he rule, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for, F-O-R, others, beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong. The king of the south are your Arabs. That's your Arab nation. And the king of the south would be a Muslim. He'd be an Arab. And today, the king of the south would be represented by Obama, the president of the United States. He's the king of the south today. And in this prophecy here of Daniel 11:5, and the king of the south, Obama, shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. The king of the north is the Pope, is the Catholic Church. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up. And they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. Okay, this brings us to the close of our study. Our contact is at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message, and more or less close now with a song. I'm going to give you a song that I've written entitled, Bethlehem's Guiding Star. If I lived one day longer, my life would be stronger for Yah in whom I believe. For he's my creator and there is none greater. My fears are completely relieved. He calms troubled waters, his voice his sheep follows. He gives you that peace of mind. As you climb the stairway to gaining momentum, you're leaving this world behind. Oh yes, he's my savior, he's led me thus far, for the light's growing brighter each day. For the manger of Bethlehem's guiding star will guide me all the way. So friends, take warning, for soon will be morning, the long night forever holds. Our Lord will be brighter, our pathway grows brighter from here to that moving shore. For man in his wisdom is limited, enduring all that he can. I'm starving my labor for the building of the things that I'm on. Oh yes, he's my savior, he's led me thus far, for the light's growing brighter each day. For the manger at Bethlehem's guiding star will guide me all the way. Oh yes, he's my savior, he's led me thus far, for the light's growing brighter each day. For the manger at Bethlehem's guiding star will guide.